Many people like to listen to certain things. But there is a difference between listening to things and actually taking time to hear what is being said. It is said that people only listen to advice that has been paid for. And sometimes people will not take advice whatsoever unless there has been a payment made for on their behalf. What is the gospel? The gospel is saving grace, advice which has been paid for. The Bible says that our heart is deceitful above all things, are desperately wicked. Who shall know it? But our Savior gives us the great advice that we must come to Him. You see, the reality is that men and women and young people, our hearts are in a position where there is a great need. A great need for you to come to the Savior who died on the cross of Calvary, who paid that price on Calvary's tree so that you, who are unsaved, could come to Christ. And that means that God's given us advice this evening. That advice has been paid for by His precious Son. But are you listening to God's word? Do you listen to what God has to say? And you know that God says that He is God. I wonder if you, for those that are outside of Christ that are gathered in this gospel evening service, you may call out the name of God in many other ways. You may know of God. You may know, say that you know that there is a God, but you're not actually saved. I spoke to a young woman, she's 20-odd years of age of late, and I pleaded with her about the things of God and talked to her about it in her place of work. And as I did so and converse about her, she said, you know, I actually believe that I need to be born again. And I said, now I'm going to ask you another question. So if you believe that you need to be born again, when are you going to get saved? Then became the stutters. I said, not yet, but that person there needs to get saved. I says, yes, there's an excuse. You need to get saved yourself. You see, what that girl was doing was she was listening to the advice that was given to her. She was, as it were, pretending to heed the information, but never came to know Christ as yet as her own and Savior. I want to speak this evening on a call from God for us to come to Him. And I trust that as we go through this verse of Scripture that the Lord will bless us. And we'll go to another verse, a couple of few verses over in the book of John. But I pray the Lord shall truly bless us. And I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart. I pray that you also, that you're coming to this meeting with an open heart to hear what God has to say. And if that's the case, I want you to let the Lord lead and guide and let the Lord speak to your heart as we come and the call God has for us to come. The first call, it is in verse number 18, it is a personal call. And it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be as wool. It's those words in the middle of that verse. Yes, it says, come now, but it also tells us in the middle of that verse, it says, though your sins be as scarlet. And God is telling us that we are sinners. And if God is proclaiming in this passage of Scripture that we are sinners, there is a personal call of God that is presented before men and presented before women that they would come to Him. A personal call. I wonder, are you happy? I wonder if you been the happiest you've ever been. I know we've all come through the Christmas period of life. I know that you look forward to, as it were, the new year which is upon you, but I wonder this evening, are you happy? Can you say that truly, in my heart and in my life at this moment of time, there's a joy there? I'm really happy. Maybe you say, preacher, I'd be happy if I gained a lot more than I have. I know we all like to receive more. We We all like to get gifts. We all do. When Christmas time comes, we all like to get gifts. And it's good to give. It's also good to receive as well. But here we find this. I wonder, are you really happy? Would you say, if I gain a little more, I'll be happy then? You say, well, maybe if I gain a little more, I'll be happy then, or I'll be more happy. You see, the reality is, when we get possessions and we get more possessions, yes, they're good to have, but will they give us total pleasure? Will they make us happy? You know, there's a man in history called Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus, he gained everything. He sailed as far as he could sail. He gained as many places. He conquered place after place. And it tells us that Christopher Columbus gained as much as he ever could conquer. And then it tells us at the end he cried. You think he's gained everything. Sure, there's nothing more. You know, the reality was that he cried because he had nothing more to conquer. You see, gaining all doesn't get us happiness. But God says, though your sins are like scarlet. And God tells us that we're sinners. And although you get everything you have in your life, and know that you maybe would gain all that you wanted in life, do you really think it'll be happy? Make you happy? You see, there's many things that we all want to have. But the most important thing is what you need to have. And that's Jesus Christ in your life. I'm sure if I went round everybody in this congregation this evening and asked you, what is it you so much desire to have? I'm sure that each one of you would have something that would come to your mind. Someone have, I want to have a sports car. Actually, I read the other day, I was reading about tractors. And it said, you know, some of the tractors have some of the biggest engines. But the problem with tractors to make them going slow is the gearbox. I think farmers should start changing the gearbox and see if they could drive a lot faster. But you know, maybe you say, you know, I want to gain a sports car. Maybe someone says, I want to get the greatest tractor there is. Somebody else says, I want to gain so much money. I want to gain the biggest house. I want to get all these things. But I wonder, have you ever considered the most needy thing? And again, that's Christ. And maybe you look around at other people and you say they have got. And maybe they have, which they do. And maybe you look around your own home and you say, I've got many needs. We all have many needs. But you know what the Bible says in this passage? That we're called to come. Why? Because we're sinners. We're called to come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet. He says you've sinned. And God's word tells us that you must listen to his word. And when God says your sins, it means that you must personally need to come to Christ. You know, it's one of the most humbling thing it is to preach God's precious word. One of the most joyous things also is to lead someone to Christ. And God, and praise God, he does use the foolishness of preaching of God's precious word to reach needy people, such as those outside of Christ, are gathered here. And God says, come now. Come now. And remember what it said back. Remember what it says over in Isaiah chapter 55. I'm sure you know the words of the scriptures. In Isaiah 55, it tells us in verse number 11, it says, so shall my word that be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And it shall not be returned, it's not returned unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word will not return unto him void. An unsaved person, you'll remember God's precious word being preached to you. And what the reality is, you need God in your life. But maybe you say, I know God says there's a personal call, but the reality is, I'm okay with my life. Many a person says they don't recognize that they are sinners. They don't recognize that they've sinned before God. But let me be completely honest with you this evening. That might work out for you for a little while. That way of living might work out for you in this life which you have. You might even find that in your whole life, all has been well. Maybe you think today, nothing can stop me. Nothing can change my mind. Even though God calls you out as a sinner and says, come now. The last Sabbath day evening of 2019, scary in many ways, it seems as if the year's gone so quick. I'm sure for you, like me, it seems like it hasn't even been a year since the last time we stood at the end of 2019. But yet, the days go on, the years go on, we all get a year older as we go on. But you still say to God, I know God says I'm a sinner. I know God says that I must come, but you know what you say? No. You say no. And let me just say once again, that might last for a little time. But after this is a judgment. The Bible says that there will be a judgment coming, and reality is that God has given you an opportunity on this last Sunday of 2019 to come to Him. Yet, you're saying in this meeting already, in your own heart, I reject Him. Reject Him. How do you expect to receive love from God when you leave the scene of time? If you don't love God while you're on earth. And one of the things, and I'm sure you hear it many a times from preachers, which many a times I've been asked that question, where is he or where is she? You know, unfortunately for most of those people that I've had that conversation with, I cannot answer. I cannot answer. But yet, people willingly live in their lives, and God says, there's a personal call. But you're just saying no. And God says, come now. And then you say, well, maybe I'll not say no this evening. Maybe I'll say, just wait. Just wait. And many people say that and says, if you give me another opportunity, sure, that opportunity time when it comes, I'll seek after God and I'll come to God. And I'll get saved. I remember my dad telling a story many years ago of a man who came to the church there in Macrofelt many years ago. And after the service was over, The appeal came, and he went to raise his hand, and his wife grabbed him and said, you do that, that's us finished. He took his hand back down again. And a brother went to see him a few weeks later, and you know what he said? I've no desire to get right before God. And God said, come now. Come now. You say, yes, wait. The problem of people today is they don't consider what's important before them. They can consider getting right, getting the right car and the right finances, but they don't consider getting right before God. And maybe they blaspheme the name of God. And they give off about God. But they don't love the Lord. But if it was on the newspaper or on the internet tomorrow morning, your obituary, would those left behind know where you're going? Where you're going. And you live in days of grace from God. And you say, no. Or God, just wait. But what if tomorrow never comes? And your just wait sees you out into God's eternity. But you live in a day of grace, and God says to you this evening, he says you're a sinner, though your sins be like scarlet. He says, come now. Come here in this gospel evening service where you're sitting in the seat, just bow your head before God. Repent as a sinner and cry unto him for salvation. He says, come now. And accept the message of God's salvation, the greatest gift you could ever get. In the month of December, the greatest gift you could ever get. In the month of January, February, March, and April, etc. The greatest gift you could ever receive is God's grace of mercy. And God's salvation. You know what Jesus says? Come now. But many people don't count God's gift to be the greatest gift, and they reject it. But I wonder about you this evening. God's offering to you his salvation. I wonder what your decision is. I wonder what you're thinking. I wonder what you're going to do. Are you going to come to God? Maybe at the end of last year, 2018, you said, God, give me another year and I'll get right before you. God is a little bit uncomfortable, or things are going on in my life at the minute, Lord, but if you give me another year, give me back to next year. The end of next year, God, I'll get right before you. And next year is upon you, and today you're still putting it off. The Bible says, come now. Come now. Remember one of the first people I ever led to the Lord. It was in Randallstown. It was in a youth rally. I was preaching at that service. And after the service, this man, this young fellow, walked up the aisle, walked towards me with his fists clenched and sweat got off his brow. I honestly thought he was going to hit me. And as soon as he got towards the door at the side of the church, he broke down in tears. He'd been living far away as like a prodigal for many years. And he came home and his brother said, let's go to Randallstown tonight. And he went that night and he got gloriously saved. And thank the Lord. I keep asking about him in his own church. And I keep asking how he's doing. I seen him there not so long ago. And he's still going on with the Lord. Thank the Lord for it. But I'll never forget it. I thought, I'm in trouble. You know, the reality was that night, that young man knew that he was in trouble before God. He knew that he had to get things sorted out with God that night. You see, he'd wandered far away from God. And God had spoken to him that evening. And he was doing as the scripture says, come now. And as he came the way of the cross. And as he did, he came to Christ. But then there's another thought for you. God says, come now. And I know Wednesday comes into New Year. I don't mean to be morbid anyway, but what if you don't get to 2020? And God says, come now, and you don't get to 2020. It's as if you were so close. But you missed out. But there's a call to come. We're also reminded in the book of John, if you'll mind turning with me to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, there's a woman in this passage. And in John chapter 4, this woman in this passage, it tells us that Christ began to speak to her at the well. He comes to Samaria, his disciples have gone from him. But look in chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And he calls out, and this woman wasn't expecting to come out and see Christ. She was expecting to come out at this time of the day when nobody else was there. But yet, what did Christ do? He met her at the right time. He met her at the point of her need. And as she met with Christ that day, she walked out. She comes out to the well and we find that her life is changed for all eternity. A few verses down, she's a little confused, but look then with me at verse number 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 11. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? And look at this, looking on in verse number 15. By this time she understands. He says, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She never expected the Savior to come be there. She never expected to drink in the water of everlasting life. But there in that passage, she knew exactly what she needed. And her sin was revealed to her by the Savior. And if you read that passage of Scripture, I wonder, did you think, why did Christ speak to this woman? Why did he speak this way? Christ used the illustration that was around about him to bring this woman to the thought of she had a need. And he used all those things because Christ saw her need. And he saw her heart. And he knew that this woman needed a Savior. And when he did so, he bid her come. What about you? Will you come too? Will you not come tonight? You see, unsaved person, I wonder, are you like this woman? You're not expecting to get saved this evening? You have been expecting, but yet someone with a love in their heart has desired to ask you or bring you along to this meeting. Or maybe you've come, you don't know why yourself. Maybe it is that you're ready to get saved. Everything has just come together. And I wonder, have you been looking for something in your life? Have you been looking for something in your life and you've been held back before, but now you want to get right before God? This woman comes and Christ speaks to her. Back in September of this year, I was asked by a brother of one of our congregations to go and see his mother-in-law in hospital. His words, he said, she's done. I arrived at the hospital bed. The hospital went in to find where the bed was, and I saw this woman sitting up in the bed as if she was all spindly, not a thing wrong with her, waiting to get back home again. And I got beginning to talk to this woman, and her name was Jean. As I spoke to her and had the conversation, she's 85 years of age. I said, I'm going to ask you a little question here. I'm going to bring something to your attention. She says, are you saved? She says, no, I'm not. 85 years of age. I went on and asked a number of questions. Did she believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Did she believe that God sent His Son to the earth to save sinners? Did she believe that Jesus Christ came to save her from her sins? You know what she says? Yes, I do. I says, so why aren't you saved? This is her answer. 85 years of age because nobody ever asked me. I wonder, is there someone in this meeting this evening? By the way, that woman got saved on the 9th or the 15th of September this year. We thank the Lord for the day and hour the Lord opened her heart and showed her her need of salvation. Sadly, that woman passed away at the end of November. And myself, along with another man, our preacher, one of our preachers, had the opportunity of preaching to many unsaved in the family at the funeral service. But thank the Lord, he saved her at that time. Maybe there's someone here and you say, preacher, I've often considered about getting saved, but nobody's asked me. Let me ask you publicly tonight. Do you want to get saved? And if your answer is yes, just do it where you are. Just ask the Lord to save you exactly where you are. Because I don't know if you'll get to 85 years of age to have that opportunity. Wasn't God merciful? Giving that lady 85 years of age for a young man, I call myself a young man, to be able to go into that hospital bed, to be able to point her to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't God merciful? And God just tells you, you're a sinner. But come now. Come now. You see, this is a personal invitation. Personal invitation to you. And there's a personal call. He says, come. Maybe you've come this evening and you've been considering for some time, and now you're ready, like this woman of Samaria, to come. I want you to listen to what she says to the people over in verse number 29 of this passage. As she looks upon what God has done in her life, she cries to the people and she says these words, come, see a man which told me that ever I did, things ever I did. And then she says these wonderful words, is not this the Christ? It's the Messiah. It's the Christ. No one could ever tell me these things except for the Christ, the Savior. And maybe you're like this woman. And you're ready to come. He says, come, see a man. Come, see a man. See, what God did in that life was God changed this woman's life and turned it upside down. Christ invited her to come. She invites others to come. And going forward, she wants to serve the Lord. As you break into this new year, you're going to go forward. We cannot go back. We can't take time back whatsoever. We'll always be going forward. As you go forward to this next year, maybe you could be that light, a little bit, that spark of fire. That could turn Market Hill upside down. That by you getting gloriously and wondrously saved, you could see your family, your friends, your neighbors, and those around about you changed by the grace of God and mercy. Why? Because they were invited to come. They came just as you can come this evening, not just to see any man. This woman was pointing people to come to Christ. You see, why I turned you over to that lady was, yes, she told them to come, but there was a point in her life that she wasn't satisfied. She tried to satisfy her need again and again. But now she's saved. She wants to lead people to Christ. And you're that person this evening. You could be the person this evening that leads many to Christ, but before that, you must come. I wonder, have you been searching? Maybe you've been reasoning in your heart and mind. Maybe you came this evening ready to come. The Lord will make your heart white as snow. The chorus says, white as snow, white as snow. Lord, sins be like scarlet. Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven. Through the power of our love, the grace in Him I know, I can be white as snow. Come now. The reality is I cannot save a person, but I can do is point you to Jesus Christ. There's a call to come. Very, very quickly, there's a call to repent. Verse number 18 says, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God says, repent. And you'll be white as snow. I don't think that we can acknowledge enough of what God sees in our lives. I don't think people realize that God can see. No car, no building, no place can hide us from God. God can see all things. Not one thing can be hid from God. God sees all things. I don't think people grasp that every single thing is in view of God. From your uprising on until you're lying down. An unsaved person, this is important information. And it's urgent, an invitation to incline your ear unto the things of God, because your sins in your life have not been dealt with. And your sins are against God. you look through the whole of the scripture, you'll find that every time they're pointed back to God. They've sinned against God. And sinned against God. Though your sins be like scarlet, God's willing to make you as white as snow. D.L. Moody was called to a man's house. And as he was called to this man's house, yes, he preached and saw many, many, many people saved by God's grace and mercy. But he records one of the most difficult ever people he ever had a conversation with. D.L. Moody sat beside a bed of a man who was going out into God's eternity. As he conversed with him, he told him his need of salvation. But every time he thought, "I've done enough," the man would say, "Just don't see it." The man would say, "Just don't get it. It just doesn't work." As Moody presented Christ, and this man thought, "I'm good enough myself. I'm going to heaven by myself. I'll get there by myself. I don't need to repent." Moody didn't know what to say. All he could do was listen. And then for a moment, the fireplace caught his eye. He just stared. The man saw him and looked, wondered what was going on. Moody got up towards the fireplace, lifted up the tongs, lifted out one of the coal of the fire burning. He set it over to the side. In silence, those two men sat there for a moment or two. As that blazing coal went to smolder and saw the fire go out, till the man said these words, "Now I see." And Moody says, "Now you're going out to God's eternity without God and you're smoldering away." It records that day, D.L. Moody pointed that man to Christ over a simple piece of coal. For you this evening, the gospel is simple. Repent and be saved. Come now. But unsaved person, I challenge you. Do you desire to be born again? Do you desire to be with God in heaven's glory? If your life is important, and maybe it is the reality, you don't realize the brevity of life itself. But the Bible says, what is your life? If it is but a vapor, appear for a little time, and vanisheth away. Do you know what makes me think, me realize how old I'm getting? It's when my children get older, and those around about me were children, are now young adults as well. See, time's going on so quickly. Time's going on so quickly. And your Creator made you. And He formed you. And He gave you the eyes that could see. He gave you the nose that could smell, the ears that could hear. He gave you the very breath that's in your body. And that same God who gave you all those things says to you, "Come now. I invite you to come, that your sins shall be forgiven. They shall be as white as snow. Won't you come?" It's often said that God is love, but God is also righteous. And God's a righteous judge. Someday your sins will be judged. Now there's a way to have those sins forgiven by coming to Christ now. Would you not come to Him? Would you not be saved? And then read with me at the close of this meeting, verse number 19. It says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land." God said, if you come now, I have blessings for you. Blessings and glory. You've been living in rebellion, and your rebellion's been there for so long. But he says, now come. Come now. Come now. For God recognizes you're a sinner. And God looks down upon our nation today and he says, verse 4, sinful nation. People laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away, backward. But God says he knows that you're backwards. He knows that you've gone away. But then he says, listen carefully. Come now. Unsaved person this evening, our Savior is still receiving sinners. Won't you come now and be born again? As we come to the close of another evening service, as we go to the door on the way out and say, preacher, I could see it during that meeting, or I would like to get born again. Just don't know how. Will you speak to me at the door on the way out, or maybe you sit here for a few minutes and let others go out first, or maybe you want to go out to the car and you catch me as I walk out to the car, I'll come back in again, no problem. But just don't go home without getting right before God. At the start of this month, you never thought so quickly the end of December would come. But God says, come now. This is your time to come. And I pray that this would be your red letter day, that you call upon the Savior for salvation. We're just going to close our meeting.